Good morning. Scripture reading, the prophet mourns for the people. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Listen, the cry of the daughter of my people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? For the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken. I mourn, and horror has seized me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician here? Why then has the health of the daughter of my people not been restored? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. This is the word of God.
Thanks for the reading, Ed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord our God, thank you for your word. We praise you, we give you our worship, and we are grateful for your patience and the forgiveness we have in Jesus. And so today, as we reflect on this message, this passage, I pray that your Spirit will truly make us aware of who we are and what we need in our lives, and that you would now bless us with your word. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, is there a doctor in the house? Have you ever, heard that expression? Is there a doctor in the house? Or is there a doctor on board? I was flying one time and there was a lot of turbulence. I mean, people were getting anxious. People were getting very nervous. And so they made this announcement, is there a pastor on board? Not a doctor, is there a pastor on board? And I was kind of like hesitant, right? You never. And so finally I put up my hand. So they said, can you please do anything? And so I did the most spiritual thing I could think of. I took up an offering. It's just a joke, okay? It didn't really happen. Don't go tell that story as if it really happened, okay? It's just a little joke. But in any case, is there a doctor in the house? When you hear that, you kind of immediately look around to see what has happened, or why is it that someone needs a doctor? Who is the person needing attention? In this passage from Jeremiah, in Gilead, apparently they are unable to find a physician. It says in verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? So the prophet Jeremiah is calling for a doctor. He says, is there no medicine in Gilead? No healing ointments? Is there no doctor in the house? It's not that someone near him is having a medical emergency or crisis. The patient is not even a person. It is a nation. It's his own nation of Judah. And so Jeremiah is weeping as he cries for help. His heart is breaking because of his people's unfaithfulness. Because you see, all hell is breaking loose around him. After a brief and encouraging reform by the good King Josiah, the people of Judah are now backsliding. They're now worshiping foreign gods. They're falling into all kinds of immorality. And that's not even the most alarming thing. A Babylon invasion is looming on the horizon. The armies have assembled. And Jeremiah can almost spot the enemy banners fluttering in the breeze. And the corrupt king, Jehoiakim, seems not to notice. He's doing nothing about the situation. He's too busy partying in the palace. Doesn't see or recognize the crisis that they're in. And it's not much different for the people of Judah. They don't see what the prophet sees either. They don't share his vision of what's going on, this dire situation that the prophet is mourning about. They can't see beyond their own petty problems and pleasures and daily living and sins. And so he asks, is there no balm in Gilead? What is Jeremiah referring to? What is he talking about? You see, there was this famous resin or gum that they harvested from the trunks of balsam pine trees. And these trees grew in the Gilead region. And from this pine sap, they made a fragrant ointment. And this ointment was used for good for all kinds of ailments. I guess you could say it was the Vicks VapoRub of that day. Remember that? Vicks VapoRub? Did your mom ever put that on your chest when you had a cold? Yeah? Can you still smell it? And the smell, kind of like the aroma, made you feel better, that you could breathe again, I think. You feel it? You smell it, Vic? So the balm of Gilead was probably, something like that. And so Jeremiah looks at the corruption of his people and he sees their hopelessness and he sees their lack of a future. And he cries out, is there no balm, no medicine that can help? Is there no doctor in the house? Is there no one who can bring true healing to these disobedient and sickly people? So what was this ailment that was affecting the people? What is the sickness that Jeremiah wants to address? It's something, people really don't want to talk about anymore. It is sin. So Jeremiah is talking about sin. Talking about a serious moral ailment. A disease that is actually lethal. A sickness that can only be healed by an outside power. That can only truly be healed by the great physician, by the Messiah. And it's the one Isaiah pointed towards when he said, he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. And so in our society, this little word sin, has largely fallen out of favor. When people hear it, when you talk about sin, most people have one of two reactions. They either dismiss it as pious nonsense, something that is old-fashioned and out of touch with today's world, or they see it as something perversely attractive. Decadent chocolate cake that's advertised as sinfully, good. I don't know if you remember, the great theologian, Billy Joel. I mean, he caught that attitude in one of his songs, the words of one of his famous songs. He sings, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners have much more fun, for only the good die young. And so Jeremiah the prophet, the pastor, is looking out on his people. And what he sees is a society that has degenerated into massive systemic sin. And maybe once he was angry about it, but now he's simply filled with despair. And he's mourning. He's mourning the behavior of his people. He's deeply concerned about the situation they find themselves in. And he reaches out with compassion to them because these people are sick and no doctor is on the case. The pharmacy shelves are bare, they're empty. But I want to talk just a little bit more about sin, you know, even though it makes you uncomfortable, because people today might not like it, but it's really a central theme that we find in the Bible. Because you see, sin is real. Your disobedience to God is not something we can simply ignore. It's not something we can just wipe under the carpet. And here is the important thing. Sin is not without its consequences. Let me see, how many of you can finish this tagline? What happens in Vegas... You've all that saying, heard that saying, right? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Do you know what the reality is, though? Do you know what the truth is? It never stays in Vegas. Do you want to know why? Because sin infects the souls of those poor sinners who believe they can step onto a plane and take a vacation from morality for just a few days. And what they actually do is they bring the infection back home with them. The contagion is coming home with them. And sin has consequences. As a matter of fact, sin never originates in Vegas either, because the seeds of immoral behavior are already planted in sinners and their hearts long before they pick up their baggage in Vegas. And so the point Jeremiah is making is that sin is not just a collection of disconnected immoral behaviors, and he never pretends that the solution to sin is just exercising a little willpower, you know, just to say no to the best of your ability. Because that's not the answer. Willpower is not the answer. I think we've all tried that, haven't we? And since we're here in church, and this is the last place we should be lying about something, we all have to admit, right, that we've all failed miserably in trying to deal with our sins. And Jeremiah is a realist. He knows the problem runs much deeper than just a little willpower. Because you see, sin is not just a few actions here and a few actions there. It's a deadly disorder that needs to be healed. And you can make a valiant effort to try and manage your sin. You can try and control your sinful behavior. And some will say, you know, just do everything you can to stop sinning and make your best effort, or at least cut down on it, and God will smile on you. But it doesn't work that way, though. And to be able to cut out all sinful behavior is mostly impossible. I'm sorry to disappoint you. And you know why? Because we are sinful by nature. And just making a great effort is not enough in God's eyes. Because sin is a fatal condition that gets hold of our human hearts. And it never lets go. At least not on itself or its own accord. And so sin is not just an act, it is a condition. A condition that needs healing. And so is there a balm in Gilead? Is there no doctor in the house? Is there anyone to apply the miracle cure so my sin may be banished? So my spiritual health and wholeness can be restored? Well, the good news is there is, in fact, such a cure. There is a balm in Gilead. And we talked about it last week. It's the grace of God in Jesus Christ. The fact that even though you are supposed to pay for your sins, you don't have to, because of Jesus Christ who paid for them. You know, there was a terrible part of our history when slaves from Africa were held captive, when they were robbed of their freedom and oppressed all their days, as they labored in the hot sun under the lash of an overseer. They were at least allowed to sing some spiritual songs as they worked. And one of them is the beloved hymn based on this passage from Jeremiah. And it's called, "There is a Balm in Gilead." There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. So what is this powerful medicine? In a way, it's something we carry within our own bodies, in reservoirs behind our eyes. Special ducts convey the salty solution from its storage place when we most need it. And our eyes well up with it, and its droplets roll down our cheeks. And so I'm talking about tears of sorrow, tears of suffering, tears of heartfelt penitence. The slaves who sang that hymn had tears aplenty. They were weeping as they sang of the precious remedy from far off Gilead. Jeremiah says, "I wish my head were like a spring of water, and my eyes like a fountain of tears. Then I could cry day and night for my people who have been killed." Now, the tears we cry are water, mostly. Water is the principal ingredient in our human tears. And when we're profoundly moved, our bodies supply water to run down our cheeks. So let me ask you, when was the last time you cried? Is it maybe time to have a, you know, like a good cry? Is it time for you and I to sit down with Jeremiah and weep and cry over opportunities lost and cry about our foolish rebellion against the one who made us and loves us unconditionally? Cry over our pettiness in our relationships. Cry in remorse for chasing after foreign gods, gods like social media or fleeting pleasures or sports or lifeless materialism. Cry that we can even entertain the thought that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. As if we can hide anything from the Almighty God. Is it time to cry tears of repentance? Cry tears of bitter realization that we need forgiveness. That we can't save ourselves from our sin, no matter how hard we try. And then, cry tears of joy. Why? Because there's a balm in Gilead. It's the balm of Golgotha. It's the balm of grace. It's the balm of God's grace in Jesus Christ, in our Savior, who is the great physician. And when we apply this balm, what we remember is not the tears, but waters of a different kind. The waters of our baptism. Waters that literally and physically flow down over our heads and over our cheeks, but figuratively and spiritually is water that heal our souls. Because through faith in Jesus Christ and by the grace of God, our sin condition is healed. There is a doctor in the house. And his balm of grace is the only thing in this world that can cure the sin-sick soul. Amen. So let us sing it again.
There is a balm.
Merciful God, thank you for your word and thank you for your message today. Thank you for the balm that heals us of our sin-sick souls, this condition that we simply cannot get rid of by ourselves. Thank you for the grace. May we all weep tears of repentance this morning and be aware of this condition that is so part of who we are. And yet we can cry tears of joy because of the forgiveness through your Son Jesus. the great physician. So thank you for the balm that heals our souls and our sin condition. We praise you for that today. In the precious name of Jesus, who made this possible. Amen.